You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line, 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
Welcome to People Helping People on Daisy 1170 AM, radio that listens to you. My name is Greg, my co-host Larry.
Good afternoon.
Producer Franco.
Hey, Franco.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
A happy belated birthday to you, my friend.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
I also need to say, last week when you weren't here, Larry, we were celebrating Franco's third year.
Yes.
Third year here.
Yes.
3 years with the station.
Happy anniversary.
You weren't here for that. And I also should mention, because I don't know if he's listening right now, but we both walked by, you walked by him as if he wasn't even there. I at least stopped in to talk.
You're talking
to him.
About Jeff.
Jeff Hovick is celebrating his birthday today.
I knew it was his birthday.
You knew?
Yeah, I did.
Jeff is just getting over being sick as well. He's like, bouncing back like a champ, and it's his birthday today. He's the guy who does the intro of the show. That's why I was...
Yeah, that's the voice that you always hear.
...reminded that I should at least call it out on the air and wish him happy birthday. Anyway, thanks
good.
To everybody for tuning in. This is an interesting time of year because we've just now passed Thanksgiving. We're in the last couple of days of November.
And our anniversary.
We've been on the air for 2 years.
Yep. Yep.
And we're now entering what we like to say is the last month of the year, but also the holidays.
Zone?
The holiday zone.
Twilight zone.
It is the twilight zone.
For us it is.
Because no matter where you're from and you know what your faith is, this is the season of giving. It's the season of thanks. You know, it started with Diwali, you have Thanksgiving. Mm. And then you have, or of course, even before that, but you have Thanksgiving and now you have Christmas coming and then New Year's. And it's really the time when people start to reset, shut it down for a little while and then start a fresh new year, 2017. So there's a lot of things happening as we wind down the year. And last week we had Merle here from the Sankara Eye Foundation talking about their year-end campaign. And it reminds us, at a time when we buy a lot of gifts, we visit a lot of family, we share a lot of food, we got to remember those in need and the people that need it most. And we need to remember sometimes to give back. And that's really what the whole premise of the show is.
Absolutely.
And it's good to have you back, by the way. I know you missed last week.
Well, I was out of town on a project,
Yeah.
I mean, I do travel a lot, you know.
You do.
So
you're leaving the show in our hands, which is dangerous.
Better than when we first started, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's for sure.
That was a nightmare.
Earl, we were supposed to have a guest today, which we've... Sometimes these things happen, because what we're doing is a radio show in the middle of the day, in the middle of the work week. And most people that are dealing with issues or are a part of these nonprofits also have regular jobs that require their time. So when they come here, usually it's on a lunch break or they're taking a day or a half day or a day off. And sometimes these plans get thrown. Today was one of those days. Yeah. And we've had a couple of these for our guest, Sean, who was supposed to come in. And we were going to talk about some of the hate crimes in the Sikh community and how we are going to try and step
address
up
that.
And address it, and at least be more educated on that. Yeah. And, you know, especially as we feel everyone should be accepted and everyone has the right to express themselves and wear what they want to wear and say what they want to say. And most people are good, loving people, and they don't deserve to be judged. And that was really what this was supposed to be about today. So it should be mentioned, and we will do that show. Unfortunately, like I said, a couple of the guests we had that were supposed to speak on behalf of the Sikh community couldn't be with us. Therefore, we figured best to move it to another date so we have all the right people on the panel to talk about.
Yeah, we want those people that we have on the show informed. I mean, they know what they're talking about. We don't necessarily, but we know what we'd like to talk about.
Right, and we read and we educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. I just don't ever want to pretend or at least present this facade that we are experts on these topics. What we are, as we've said from day one, is really mediators, mm-hmm. Conduits, if you will, to give people an opportunity to get their message on the air and allow us to ask the questions and paint the picture for our audience.
Yeah, I mean, we deal with the professionals. They're the ones in the know. We're not, but we have them on the show so they can inform you with their knowledge and their history on what we're talking about. And that's the way we do it. We never have professed to know much about anything, really.
Right. I mean, we're well-rounded individuals.
Yeah, we are by now. I mean, yeah, we've had so many different types of topics and guests on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we don't, we never try to come across as really being knowledgeable about a lot of these things. We know enough to be dangerous. That's why we get the professionals
on the show. Sort of
the
story of my life, really. I don't know a lot about anything. I just know a little bit about a lot of things.
Ah, that's correct, and I agree with you.
I can hold my own in a lot of conversations, but once it gets really deep, I start quietly bow out. You know, like, let me go over here and
smart.
Get some
that's
water.
That's a smart move. It is.
But again, it's continues this journey, this mission for people helping people. For those who tune in weekly, you understand the premise of this show. For an hour, we will talk about many different topics and we'll bring in different experts and different people from the community to talk about different issues facing said community. Mm-hmm. Some subjects are very heavy. Some subjects not as heavy. Some are more educational. For example, like, you know, I wanted to talk about today the drought that we've been.
I was going to say that.
For the last, since I've been here, all people will talk
forget
about.
Forget the drought, we're getting rain now.
We've it's been like, getting rain with. So often that it's almost become normal to see rainy mornings.
It's been nice, huh?
Is. Yeah. It is nice because I feel that it's no longer, granted, I'm sure we're not out.
No,
right?
We're not.
We're never out. But I did read that something like 40 or 50% of the reservoirs are full, but there's still a bunch that aren't. But the fact is that we're not in this dire situation.
Like we were.
Yeah. Buys us a little time to figure out what we need to do to conserve and to figure out what we're going to do when it comes back around.
Yeah. No, it's true.
But it is amazing because, I mean, it was a year ago, Larry. Mm-hmm. We were sitting in this same studio more than a year, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
With a couple of students who were talking about the drought and how dire it really was. Yes. And I remember we had a lady in here who
from the water district,
what will happen eventually if we keep going at this pace is one day you're going to turn on your faucet and nothing's going to come out. That was one of the most mind-blowing things I've heard on this show.
That's a scary thought.
We need water to live. It's not like we could say, oh, you know what, I'll drink soda. You need water to live, right? And when you hear that, it puts perspective. It's like if that happened, you'd have mass chaos. You'd have an exodus. Yeah. People would be leaving in bushels to go to water because you need it, right?
Yeah.
Now, we weren't there yet, but it got to the point where that's where the authorities were pointing to say, you know, it's not an unlimited supply here. Mm-hmm. We are going to run out eventually if we don't do something.
Sure.
Then we had El Nino, which provided us with a nice amount of rain early in the season this year, and we had a bounce back. And then they said the tail end would hopefully hit us end of the year, and we might end up with another rainy season, which would help again. Mm-hmm. And now there's been many stories about how we are getting closer to not being out of the danger zone, but definitely being out
Of the closer than we were.
Yeah, and being out of the immediate danger zone, right? Like, because it probably saved us for a year or a 2 year period, but eventually we expect because of where we are that there will be less water. Eventually there will be water issues, but it buys us some time. And that's another, it's a topic that we could at least talk about and say, okay, of all these things that go wrong, it's nice to hear something or something actually work out the way they thought
might,
right?
Yeah.
There's so much negativity in the press.
A lot.
This show tries to stay away from negativity and focus more on the positives that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because the election especially it was just all negatives.
And it still continues to be.
Oh, I know.
It's just less social media driven at this point.
Yeah, because it's not the topic these days. You know, it's not fresh in your face like it was. But they still try to dredge stuff up, you know, and get it going again.
They will continue to do that.
Yeah, I know they will.
And one thing that we can be assured of is that as for the next couple of years, the next 4 years precisely, is there's going to be a huge task and in front of us to try and figure out how to settle this and at least knock down the walls and the divide here in the country and figure out how we can talk and work together again, because it has to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters who's in office for this. I think it's just the people that are going to have to work together on this.
Yeah, they have to.
And have conversations how we can get better. And as I've spoken to many people here who have shows on the AC 1170, who've moved here to America 5, 10, 15 years ago to start a family. And they all seem to point out people still choose to come here. They want to come here. Mm-hmm. So as bad as it might seem, there are a lot of places in this world that would love to be in our position. We need to remember that. We need to remember
that you
too. Not every decision is going to go the way you want it to. And there's going to be some roadblocks and obstacles, but that doesn't mean we should throw up our hands and leave. We have a great place here. Let's work on it.
Yeah.
And the power to the people, you know, that's what they say.
Yeah, it certainly used to be that way for sure. You know, and it can be again. You know, there's a lot of division right now for a lot of reasons. But we need to get past those things and mend fences.
We certainly do.
Could say.
And we will open today with the phone lines to our listeners to talk about really anything that's on your mind. 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. We'd love to hear some of what is on your mind and what we may be forgetting or maybe not highlighting enough on the show. Because there are so many conversations to be had, and we shouldn't be the ones thinking of them all. That's why we're here for you, to start the conversation, really. I think there's so many different things, and as we get on with the show a little later, we'll talk about some of the events and things happening in the community. I did the turkey trot on Thanksgiving. It's the third year in a row I've done this, which is a really great cause. I think they said something like 28,000 plus people showed up downtown San Jose, right downtown. Now, they do them all over the turkey trots. It's a big nationwide thing, and a lot of money is raised with the turkey trot. You have to donate to run, and I know some people will also get sponsors and such to back them. But this is it's been a pretty damn popular event. And in San Jose, I believe it's the biggest one. And again, there's a lot of people out there spending their Thanksgiving morning doing something that is essentially giving back, right? It's their whole thing. The beneficiaries of it are Healthier Kids Foundation of Santa Clara, Housing Trust, Second Harvest Food Bank, big one around the holidays. And what they do is, well, for example, Healthier Kids Foundation believes one child without access to health coverage is one child too many. Their mission is to ensure access to and advocacy for healthcare services for all children through family-centered and innovative approaches. That's one of the charities.
We should have them on a show.
We should.
Yeah.
Especially to see, I'd like to see how much money gets raised from this and what it's going to. Then there's the Housing Trust Silicon Valley, is that makes Silicon Valley a more affordable place to live. This is a big deal.
We need that.
I want to talk about your friend that you met the other day, your homeless friend,
because
this ties into it. But it makes loans and grants to increase the supply of affordable housing, prevent homelessness, and assist qualified individuals and families to buy their first home. Nationally recognized for providing the resources and leadership needed to make housing more affordable for those who want to live in Silicon Valley. Anyone who lives here knows how expensive it is to live here. Whether you're renting or buying or financing, you understand that it's not cheap to live here. And very quickly, life can deal you a bad hand and you could be out on the street. And this really is the strength of the Housing Trust of Silicon Valley to try and make things a little easier on those that might not be able to afford it, but this is where they are and this is where their family is and their roots
exactly.
are. Why don't you tell that story real quick about the gentleman you met?
Yeah, okay. I was in church on Sunday and they have like a little coffee shop there.
Yeah.
Before the service, I went in and was sitting there drinking some coffee. I happened to hear this guy talking to another guy, overheard their conversation, and he had apparently moved out of Stanislaus County because he got a job down here in security. I forget what kind.
Okay.
So he's staying right now, in the interim, he's staying in a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. So he's okay that way. But I gave him our card for the show and asked him to call in here. Hopefully somebody out there might have a room or something he could rent, temporarily till he gets on his feet. But mm-hmm. he does have a job. So, yeah.
You said it's a temporary job?
No, he's got a job.
Oh, it is, okay.
I mean, his situation is temporary, you know, until he gets his first paycheck, I guess, in a couple of weeks or whatever. He just needs a place to stay, rather than maybe a homeless shelter if anybody's got a room or something out there. But he said he was probably going to call in. His name is Scott Mizrahi. So if he does call in, we can, you know, he can give out his information. We can take.
That's a story I've heard one too many times.
A lot of those.
Yeah. I saw this great story on Thanksgiving night on the news, usually always negative on the news. And there was a story about this 15-year-old girl who in San Jose, who this is the fourth year in a row she's done it, where she's taken, saved her money throughout the year, allowance, I guess doing work around the, you know, community or whatever, saves her money so that she can feed homeless people on Thanksgiving. So what they do is they bring like 30 homeless people that this kid does everything. And she actually cooks the meal, serves them, brings them their food. You couldn't, this kid is 15 and you listen to her talk and hear what she has to say. And you're like, wow, it takes a 15-year-old to do this.
Yeah.
Save a few bucks, couple hundred bucks throughout the year. And she does it all herself. Her family helps her, but she basically does everything. She seeks out the people, a place to do it. A great story, and it's unfortunate that it takes sometimes a 15-year-old to think of these things, because so many of us, as we get older, we get so caught up in our lives and the importance of our own lives, you forget. Sometimes doing something like that feels so good. It felt good for me to just do the turkey trot, and I really did nothing other than pay my fee to get in, which goes to a good cause.
Yeah.
But you feel like you're a part of something bigger, you know, on a holiday like Thanksgiving.
And you are, you know. Yeah. It's just like with this show. I mean, as everybody does a little bit, it ends up being a lot.
Yeah.
On that note, I didn't want to forget to say this because I have in the past. I don't want to forget to say it today. We had, maybe some weeks ago, we had a lady who adopted her grandson, who is now a quadriplegic.
Yes, yes.
And we did have response from our listeners out there, so thank you. You know who you are. I don't know who you are. But they gave a sizable contribution.
That's right.
So they were able to get that housing that they were going after.
They needed work then, so there could be a wheelchair accessible.
Yes,
They were in a home that wasn't, and they
needed
that. And they needed the right wheelchair, too, right?
Yeah, so a lot of things came together just at the right time. And I just want to thank you, whoever you are, for the contributions that you gave. It put her over the top, and they are now in the house of their dreams.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We've sometimes are taken aback by the response from the show, because sometimes we'll say, all right, you know, we'll talk through a whole show and there might not be a lot of phone calls particularly, and then we get emails or we'll get calls behind the scenes of people that want to get involved, or they just take action on their own and we'll hear, hey, thanks to your show, we got this, that, and the other thing happen.
Yeah.
And we don't always know what's happening or who it is.
Yeah, we don't.
But it is very rewarding to know that there are people out there that will listen and do something about it.
Yeah.
Especially at a time when we're all so busy and there's so much going on and not everybody has a lot of extra money.
Yeah.
But the fact that there are still people that will take that initiative.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and that says a lot to me, you know, personally, because I, you know, when we started the show a couple of years ago, we never knew where it was going to go. And you never know how successful anything is going to be unless you have somewhat of a track record, you know, a little bit of history. And it absolutely is touching lives out there. We are succeeding in our goal of, you know, making people aware, and you guys are participating in that. And we just love you for that. Want to thank you for that. It's all about you. Without you, we wouldn't be here. So thank you for being there and responding.
Yes. And we continue really this mission to try and uncover new subjects and new topics.
Always. Yeah.
Because they're really, even when one might go away, another will come up. Mm-hmm. And in the age of social media, how things travel so quickly, and, you know, something so small might turn into a massive issue overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we've seen recently, that these things happen quickly. Like, for example, something like a few years ago or last year, the ice water challenge or whatever that.
The bucket.
Right. That was for a great cause. Mm-hmm. I got so annoyed by it because it was like, all I kept seeing was people doing this stupid challenge. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is raising tons of awareness.
What was that about? Anyway.
For MS.
Yeah.
MS?
I think so.
Multiple sclerosis? The Lou Gehrig disease?
Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yeah, but it's got another name. I can't believe I'm...
Not Parkinson's, is it?
No.
Or it's like that.
It is like Parkinson's. ALS.
ALS.
Right?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. So that was a very, very, very... helpful campaign because I read that tons of money was raised and awareness was raised. Now it goes
but you
away.
Know, but you know what?
What?
What I think was a negative on that was we were in the midst of a huge drought and they were doing that. So I think a lot of people, I mean, aside from the benefits of it, I think a lot of people looked at that side of it. But, and I think, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? That it doesn't, like somebody said, when you look at the the trajectory, no? Maybe it's the course that this disease takes, how it, once you are diagnosed, you essentially eventually know that your body is going to become a shell, a cocoon, if you will, a mummy, and you will no longer have the, it's a 1-2 month thing. And all of a sudden you can't use any of your, you know, you don't have functioning limbs and it's a really slow, it accelerates quickly, but it's a painful thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that can be done about it. They've got no idea how they're going to fix it or reverse it or turn it around.
Yeah.
However, this brought a ton of awareness to a disease that otherwise didn't have a ton of money in research because there weren't enough cases.
And we've had that on the show too, you know, where we've talked about different things that don't have the funding because they're rare.
So what I was reading this thing here. It says the ice bucket challenge actually did help ALS research. This was something I read on The Verge a couple months ago. They identified the gene using funds from the ALS Bucket Challenge, which raised $115 million to benefit research on the disorder. And
that's huge.
That's a lot of money
raised,
you know? And they showed a weird statistic, like the money that was raised through nonprofit awareness prior year was something in the neighborhood of $11 or $12 million.
That's a huge
so they had
leap.
This now it's probably going to go back, right? Because now that it's off the radar,
unless they do something like that again,
right? But will it be another illness that will benefit from it? Who knows? But now this new thing I'm seeing is this mannequin challenge, right? If anybody who has social media or Facebook or watches TV knows Franco, right?
Yep.
You've seen the mannequin challenge. Can you explain what it is real quick?
The mannequin challenge is where people just stay in place and then you have this person holding a camera and they just move around like this. They move around all the people that are...
And everybody's stuck in position.
They're stuck into position and like 90% of the time, you hear the song Black Beatles by Ray Shrimmer in the background. I don't know why that's
become... Yeah, I don't know that either.
I don't know why that's become the Mannequin Challenge theme song per se, but I think it's interesting and hilarious.
But it's so... In other words, Larry, if we were going to do it right here, we'd find a position like you're crossing your arms and I would be like demonstrative because I talk with my hands like any other Italian. Mm-hmm. So I would have my hand up like this, stuck in this position for however many, and then go back to normal. So you look like a mannequin, right?
That's another... thing like Pokemon.
No, this is a little different. This is more like again the ice bucket challenge, and then I would also say the what was the other one that was before that? What was the other one that they did? Everybody was doing. Franco, you can help me on this.
What was it?
There was before the ice bucket challenge. There was another one that was like, when people
the Harlem
break
Shake?
Out, when people break out into dance with a big group of
the Harlem Shake.
Yeah, but what was the name?
No,
what do they call that?
Name for it.
They call that dance. It's like when everybody knows about it, but they just bust out
and they
in
just
the
come
the
together and they're like,
oh come on, I can't believe I can't think
I
of the
know
name.
What that
of
it.
Is.
Yeah, look it up, Franco. You're good at that.
It's called the.
They just come together like in shopping malls and stuff like that, and all of a sudden.
Yeah, they have a name for it. It's like a specific name for like a something troop, a blah, blah, blah troop, or a. Everybody. So, like a private group of people will show up in the middle of a park and act like they're just doing other things,
exactly.
And all of a sudden a song will start and everybody starts doing this choreographed dance.
Exactly.
Of whatever it is.
Oh, Flash Mob?
Flash Mob.
That's
thank
it.
You.
Yes.
That was
told
a huge
you.
Thing. Very good. But that was a huge deal a couple of years ago.
I remember.
Everybody was doing it.
That was so cool.
Then it was the ice bucket challenge. Yeah. Now it's the mannequin challenge. Yeah. I don't know if the mannequin, Sesame Street even did the mannequin challenge, as Franco just pulled up. I see Big Bird doing it. But is this attached to anything?
Yeah, like,
is there a movement, or is it just a stupid mannequin challenge?
I don't know. I think it's just a trendy thing.
I wish it was attached to something like, you know, research for, bone disease or something.
Well, I was thinking that it would be, but I guess maybe it's
not. Maybe it is, and I don't know, but I haven't seen it. Like with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, there was also one that people were doing push-ups for veterans, where they were doing like a 20-day push-up challenge, and it was to benefit veterans. That was a great one, too. And, again, it overloads my feed, and I get annoyed like anybody else with these crazy social, it keeps me off social media, but then I start to think there's positives in this.
I think it's just a trend. When I said Pokemon, it's not the same thing, but it's like a trendy thing to do.
It sounds like you're talking about Gumby's partner, Pokemon. It's Pokemon.
I don't know who it is. Pokemon.
It's a different thing, Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
Pokemon sounds like a man.
Pokemon.
A man that I wouldn't want to hang out
Pokemon,
with.
Pokemon, man.
But Pokemon is,
and
look, I have a guy here who knows probably more about Pokemon than anybody else.
It's not the same thing, but in a way, it's a trend. It's a
trendy
thing.
But that's a game, and that was an app.
Yeah.
That I'm sure Franco could tell you about. Has that trended out?
Pokemon Go? Sort of. I mean, it was big when it first came out. Nowadays, I mean, you still have like a small group that they're attached to it, but it's sort of died down in popularity.
Do you play it still?
Actually, not too much, to be honest. I mean, I was playing it, and now I'm just like, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, it's like anything else, I guess, the hype goes away. That was one of those weird things. I remember driving by Guadalupe River Park, and I saw a huge amount of people just sitting, not doing anything, just sitting on their phones. And I'm like, what's going on here? This is the most quiet park I've ever seen. And it was, they were all playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, they were doing that when
you
I was
were
in
there,
Santa
right?
Barbara.
Guilty. Me and my friend were there. We're just, catching
it was
Pokemon.
Funny to watch because it looked like, why are all these people here doing nothing?
Yeah.
But it was a huge movement. I mean, there were thousands of people there.
Yeah, it was real popular.
What were you going to say, Larry?
Well, I was in Santa Barbara a couple months ago, and almost everybody on the wharf was doing it. So all the restaurants were packed with people. And I said, so what's going on here? I asked, we were wine tasting, my son and I. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, that's people that are into Pokemon. I said, what the heck is that?
You were probably so lost. And so confused by this.
I don't get involved in that stuff.
I know you don't.
That's stupid.
But it should bring, the conversation should at least be discussed about
like
ALS.
Dumb.
I'd like to go back to that because I think that's a topic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's another one. See, I mean, there's
he's never really talked. There's so many.
We haven't.
Disease-wise and conditions and such. Mm-hmm. There are so many. And I always find it fascinating with the ones that are really rare, because what happens if you're one of only, say, 5,000 or 10,000 people with the disease, there's very little research happening because how much money can they put into something that only affects a small segment of
society.
Whereas something, say, like breast cancer affects so many people, prostate cancer affects so many people, AIDS affected so many people, so they put a ton of research and money into figuring it out. And at least finding a way to help people live with it and live longer with it.
True.
Even something like aging and hair loss and things like that, you think about the advances they've made in that. Alzheimer's. In our lifetime, I never thought we'd see a cure for Alzheimer's, for example. And they've said they've come very close. And in 5 years, we might see something that can stop it.
Yeah.
At least stop the progression of it so that. I think I read something where it could stop the progression for something like 10 years. And in that 10 years, they'll figure out how to present.
Exactly.
Right along,
how to
which is amazing because it's an awful disease.
Yeah.
To watch somebody who you love, your mother, your father, whomever, your loved one, forget everything, including you, is a devastating thing.
Yeah.
And affects so many people. And eventually they say if you live long enough, you're eventually going to get dementia. At some point, if you live long enough.
Yeah.
You might not get it to your 120. If you live to 120, you're going to get it. But eventually you will get it. So it's important. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
But there are these little ones, these little rare conditions and diseases that are just really devastating. I watched this special about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago on Discovery Health about this disease that the bones grow over the bone, right? So in other words, eventually the bones keep layering and layering and layering over the bones. So eventually that you can't move, you become like a literally a cocoon. And your muscles and your bones become seized, and you're forced to be in one position for the rest of your life.
Man,
this
I've
is
never
a,
heard of
and
that.
It only affects something like 50,000 people in a year in the world. But when they highlighted it and they showed these people, they have to make a decision at some point during this illness. How they do they want to sit for the rest of their life, be in a position of sitting, or be in a position of standing, which they could eventually be laid down and then stand up in like in a sort of a wheelchair kind of, you know, strapped.
Yeah.
Because they can't move anything. Eventually the bones grow so dense that they can't. And I was like, can you imagine having to make that decision or be a family member and watch this happen? Somebody who could just eventually just has zero
mobility.
Flexibility. Never mind mobility, flexibility. You know, if you're paraplegic or something, you know, you can move your body. You just have to move it into this is, it was so sad. And I was like, how do you deal with this? And how are they ever going to learn more about it and find out enough to fix it if such a few amount of people are affected in the world?
Sure, yeah.
So every time a case happens, there's this one doctor in India, ironically, who basically is the one that people go to because he's had the most experience in dealing with. This guy is like the expert as far as what we know now.
Is there more of an instance of it in India?
No, it's just so be it, this guy, whatever reason, became somebody who wanted to focus a lot of his energy and his career on it. So now people go to him for advice on how they can treat it and what they can be done. And he's the one who's really making the most noise to other doctors who might be able to help figure it out. You know, and he says it could be, you know, 20, 30, 50 years before they make any progress, but at least there's somebody.
Yeah.
And that's across, I mean, think about how many different things can happen to us in our lives.
I try not to.
Rare diseases, things that can happen, you know, from things like malaria.
Yeah, look
or something,
at you. You know? Look how sick you were.
I had something that affects less than 200,000. My throat. Yeah, and it was just a rare, you know, fluke that happened to me. Thankfully, recovered. And thankfully, it didn't, you know, have any long-term effect. But there are many that aren't so lucky.
Yeah.
So these are those little things as a group that we have to, you know, be cognizant of, aware of, and think that there are so many people out there that are in the fight of their lives.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they feel like there are very few people with them.
Sure.
Other than their family.
Yeah, they feel helpless.
Because there's not much they can do. So they sort of just deal with it and fight it and do their best to move on with their lives.
Yeah.
It's just a really, it's eye-opening. And this the world is so big and there's so many subsections of this world and so many things we just don't know about.
Yeah.
And we sort of get distracted by
caught up in our just our thing,
media and the world and TV and everything, you
just
know?
Our own little world.
So Frank,
I actually do going back to the whole diseases, you know, that reminds me of another disease, celiac disease. You know that one?
I do.
I've heard of that.
I do know. Can you explain that?
Celiac disease is basically where a person who has this disease is allergic to gluten. Basically, like they can't have wheat.
Any. And it's like extreme. It's not like a gluten insensitivity or a gluten sensitivity. It's a gluten.
Really strong allergic reaction to that?
It's strong. Like, yeah, there's gluten sensitivity, but for one who has celiac disease, they cannot have wheat or gluten at all, even just like a molecule.
And this is something recent. There are very few cases 25, 30 years ago of celiac disease. And because of the fact that think about it. When's the last, do you remember back when you were growing up, or even a few 20 years ago, seeing a gluten-free section in the supermarket?
No, never.
Now there's a whole aisle.
Yeah.
In
Safeway. That makes you think, why?
Exactly. Like peanut allergies or allergies to certain foods.
Why? You know, why all of a sudden? I mean, it seems all of a sudden now, but why? Or is everyone allergic to certain things all of a sudden?
So I'm trying to see here. Does it give us a time frame, Franco, on that? Of when this was first?
When this first began?
Yeah, I'm just curious if there's something on there that says where it all kind of stemmed from.
Okay.
History, I guess. This goes way back. 1856.
Well,
it's just, I would imagine that there are people that have had this disease from their childhood, obviously, but I feel like in the more recent days, it's become very common. I'm looking through 1960s. It seems like is when it really started to boom.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a few people who have gluten allergies who can't eat any gluten.
Right.
And it's like to the point where they go in the hospital if they eat gluten. And I know, so, for example, my wife has a sensitivity to gluten. Mm. So she can eat it. She does, but she knows that she's going to get a headache pretty much guaranteed. She's going to get a migraine or a headache of some kind to follow it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's joint pains and things like that. Huh. But it's a sensitivity. So she basically can do it knowing she's going to deal with it, but it's not going to really, poison her, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas her, Christiana's stepfather's mother has celiacs and she can't have anything or she'll be in the hospital immediately if she eats pasta, for example, that's not gluten-free. And there are a lot of cases like that. It's unbelievable how these things have just sort of happened.
Yeah, we've talked about this. We've touched on it in the past shows. Mm-hmm. It's just like all of a sudden we were coming up with these different things, you know, with health-related issues that we never seemed to have had before.
And I would think somebody, gluten allergy, I would love if somebody who's listening to the show right now who might have celiacs or have a gluten allergy or somebody in their family would love to talk about it because it's something that I would like to be more educated on and maybe find out more about and see if there's something there. Is it a topic we should be covering on this show? Is it a bigger issue?
I think it is.
I mean, it's a good one you brought up, Franco, because I don't ever hear anybody talk about. I mean, it's obviously becoming an issue. Gluten. What, are you not supposed to be here? I just want to say hello to you.
I was saying hello to you too.
Well, Srini Sarapalli is here.
Hey, Srini.
Success with Srini.
I'm supposed to go live at 1 p.m.
I know that.
I wanted to join.
Joy's going to kick us out of the studio.
What did I say before we went on the air today?
That you wanted to talk to Srini.
I was like, I wish Srini was here. It'd be a great day to have me because we're just going to kind of talk. And I knew you were coming on one.
You guys are doing wonderful. I was listening while I was driving in.
Were we boring you? I hope.
No, it's amazing.
Was he boring you?
There's some topics that we, I don't know things they need to be talked about. I don't get time to talk about. I think they do. You know, we bring awareness. We bring impetus to that, and I think it's a great thing. This was great. I lost you at the time when you were talking about the doctor in India. That's when I had to get out of my car.
About that bone disease.
Yeah, the bone disease. What's interesting, and the reason I like to bring you in for perspective is we've had sometimes, like Srini and I'll just have a conversation, and just in conversation, it gets deep. It can get deep. And I feel like Larry and I, and Franco as well, we kind of go into this show, we talk about, we usually have guests here, and sometimes we'll just talk about different things and hopefully start a conversation somewhere. You're very good at that because, first of all, you're a conversationalist, much like us. But
I'll tell you, Greg, the goal is this. I think we have a fundamental responsibility of evoking a certain set of emotions in people. Whether you talk, whether you act, whether you do what you have to do. Radio gives us, or the airwaves give us that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if we talk and we can't evoke those or incite that emotion in them, I think we lost the purpose. We lost the opportunity given to us. So, this show does it and many other shows, the thing is, you know, it's not just I just have a conversation. I think the best conversation that you can have is with yourself.
Right.
Where you process what you're processing that reflects in your talk, in your words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of seminars and webinars, and you deal with a lot of people and self-help. I know you do have to run. But one of the things I really love is that what you do is you break everything down into these sort of workable chunks so you feel like you can make a difference in taking these steps to get there instead of just trying to take it all on at once. These are the steps you must take to be successful. And I think that goes across the board into what we do.
Exactly. So I just want to, kind of highlight one aspect.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, I believe that people can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, due to the situations, due to their responsibilities or the place where they find themselves, they feel like they are tight, they are squeezed, and they are expected to perform a certain thing in a certain manner over a number of days, and that becomes their default behavior.
Yes.
So people don't find a way to break that pattern. So I think that everybody who's listening to this show wants to give.
Some way or another, right?
Exactly. And they have a lot within themselves too. And I think that by simply accepting the fact that they can give, they are discovering themselves.
Hmm.
You see?
That's
so
nice.
That's the part that is missing. And so even if we drive listeners to just believe that they can give, whether they give or not is
right.
But they're discovering themselves. They're exploring themselves.
When you say give, it really could be just giving time, right?
Yeah.
It could be just giving your time to something.
Man, you're getting me started on this.
I'm sorry.
Bob Hope made an incredible, you know, quote on this. He said, the worst kind of a heart disease you have is the disease of not giving.
That's amazing.
Right? The worst kind of heart disease you have is the disease of not giving.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a heart for giving, you have the worst kind of a disease, heart disease. Oh, that's what. If you don't have a heart for giving, you have the worst.
You have heart disease.
See, the quote came back. Okay, you have the worst kind of heart disease. Yeah. The heart for giving, right, is nothing but the other side of you, which
yeah.
most people live their life, they don't discover, man. They don't discover that side.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's what a blessing we have. We're born and we're given the power to analyze ourselves, to understand ourselves, to build emotions about ourselves, to analyze our own emotions, create new feelings.
Yeah.
But we just don't invest the time to explore that side.
And
of
we
us.
Only have mm-hmm. a limited window to do it in because we don't live forever. So it's important to take some action at some point in your life and get ahead of these things. I know you have to run. You're on at 1 o'clock. If you
yes,
want to
I
listen
am.
To Sweeney
why,
talk.
Why you guys stay over? We're talking about the Wealth Summit and other stuff. All the other stuff.
A big show. I know we got that Wealth Summit
yeah.
coming up. So
yeah.
we'll go ahead and get yourself sorted.
Sure.
Thanks for jumping in. I always love to have you here.
Right.
And it's all right. I don't need to.
So I'll tell you something. You guys, Franco, Larry, Greg, you guys are wonderful people. You guys have a heart. You know, you not only do this show for the sake of giving, I think that you do this because you fundamentally live a life like that.
I feel mm-hmm. it. Yes.
Right. And I think that, you know, when a happy person, a giving person, a committed person, right? All these things have to happen for you to make an impact.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And look forward to your show. 1 o'clock.
Thank you,
thanks for
Thank
being
you.
In here.
Thank
I know we're pulling
you
away from other things, so especially you only have a few minutes to get ready now.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's great to hear an input
yeah.
or perspective from somebody like Srini, because I've always said he's
always.
One of those guys. He's very cerebral. He has like, you know, the ability to kind of look at something and we
analyze
see,
it,
you know, numbers and he sees
yeah.
all this possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I really respect that about him. From day one, 4 or 5 years ago when I met Srini, when I first came here, I was blown away at how easy it was to talk to him about anything.
Yeah.
You could talk to him about something he had no knowledge about. And what he would do is he would ask questions and figure it out in the conversation, so that way he's able to hold his own,
yeah.
and he's really got a wonderful mind, and I like bringing his thoughts into it.
Yeah, he's got a grasp,
sure. and he's right about, you know, the Bob Hope quote,
mm-hmm.
guy who gave back a lot in his
yeah,
in his
did.
Life and his
he
career,
did, yeah,
very famous man and
yeah.
comedian, and here he was, he would always do so much for the troops, for example,
mm-hmm.
it was a big
mm-hmm.
deal for him.
Yep.
But it is true, if you're not giving,
yeah,
then
you're not living
because
nope.
we all are. It's easy to take. It's always easy to take. It's never as easy to give, but it feels so damn good. It's like giving gifts, right?
It is.
Christmas
exactly
time.
What it is.
If you're one of those people that loves opening gifts more than you love seeing people open the gift you bought them, then
yeah.
you might not be a person who would want to
yeah.
do this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're one of those people that gets that thrill
Kick
from giving
them.
Someone
yeah.
a great gift,
exactly.
and you get more out of it by seeing somebody open the gift than you get out of opening the gift yourself, then that's what we really fundamentally try to do with this
yeah,
show.
I'm like that. I got a Christmas tree for the first tree I've had in years. You know, I don't know for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's been 4 years since I actually had a tree.
Is that
house.
Right? Why?
I don't know. I think when I broke up with this girl, or we just stopped communicating. The tree I had that year was one that you know that was in the potted soil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I planted it, and I think it reminded me. It's been about 4 years since I spoke with her, and I just said it's, you know, it's just sad. So
get back to putting a Christmas tree up.
I did.
Have
I did.
Spirit.
So I got a tree, and then I went out yesterday. I went out and got another tree, just a little one, about a 3-footer, for my sister, and I took it to her house and just dropped it
Good
off
man.
On her doorstep.
Good man.
Yeah. So she was just, and when she got home, you know, it was just what she needed.
Little bit of joy.
Little
you brought
thing,
her.
Yeah, just a little thing. But yeah, no, this year I'm into it totally.
Yeah, well, it's important. I think sometimes even like we were getting ready to decorate. Well, this weekend we usually decorate the first week in December, and we were saying, like, oh, no one's probably going to be able to see it. We're not going to have any guests that we know of
mm-hmm.
in the next month, so we're going to be.
Stop. We're just giving me your address. You never have.
Well, listen, I'd rather not.
Okay, I'm not giving you your honeymoon gift.
No, you come over. Well, I wasn't expecting
that. Come over. I don't even know where you live.
All right, good.
Do you believe that?
What I was going to say. So what I was going to say is, it was like, it doesn't mean because we're not going to have guests that we're going to see it. It's going to be around us. It's something we should feel. It's that that feeling you get from turning on those lights and, you know, and putting up the Christmas tree together. That doesn't really, it doesn't matter who sees it, right? It matters, you know, for yourself.
Yeah, because you're the one that's going to see it.
Yeah, so it's really the same thing. And I always feel the people who like to give and don't expect anything in return, there's nothing wrong with being the guy who donates $1 million and says, I want my name read and I want you to say my business on the air because I donated this. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always love the people that just kind of do it anonymously and they don't wait for the return. Like, you know, you buy a bunch of gifts for somebody and you leave it on their doorstep and leave, and they're like, who did this? You know, who was the
person?
It's
funny. You said the girl I was just talking about.
Yeah.
That's what she taught me. She used to do that. She did it with my sister when my sister was struggling taking care of our mother. And she used to do small little things like that. She would get like a bag. And she would fill it with just goodies and stuff, and she would drop it off. She never said a word, never.
That's a great quality to have.
And she did it with a lot of people, too.
It's not to say that, again, it doesn't take anything away from people that give and expect something in return. I don't really not, because guess what? That's life.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are that way, and that's not a negative. I think we all kind of have our own faults.
Yeah.
However, I do think it's a nice thing when people are willing to do it without any fanfare. Mm-hmm. So before we have 10 minutes left. Franco, I know I asked you to pull up a couple. Were you able to do any?
Yeah.
I figured we'd do a couple of what's going on because this is a busy time of year for nonprofits, and we want to get the word out. So why don't you go ahead and give us a couple?
All right, let's see. The first one I want to talk about is happening this Friday, December 2nd, at Seabright Avenue in Santa Cruz, your city.
There you go.
What is it? This is the Jaya Lakshmi and Ananda weekend events. And there are multiple events that are happening throughout the weekend. The first one is Kirtronica.
Oh, Kirtronica,
Kirtronica. It's a term for a new genre of music that is currently being established in the yoga world.
Yeah, Kirtan Yoga, which is a huge deal, by the way.
Yes. So Jaya Lakshmi and Ananda's Kirtronica is a divine complement to dancing freedom and all embodied transformation processes. And these musical artists are based out of Oregon in the genre of mantra music. So it's very interesting. Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting seminar and show. You can get more information about that by going to jayalakshmiandananda.com. Yeah. And there are multiple events throughout the weekend.
Yeah, that's a tough one if you don't know how to spell it.
And that it is.
But I will say that that's a very – I've been to Kirtan Yoga, which is sort of like mantra-based chanting, and it's call and response kind of.
Yeah.
And it's very – it's unbelievable. It's like a thrill to be a part of it. And I'm thinking as an electronic element and bringing it in and sort of expanding it to something else is probably really cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This will happen once again at Seabright Avenue in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
May just have to go myself. Next is, of course, you have the Tri Yoga Center. They have a couple of events that are happening this weekend. You can go to triyoga.com, and this is happening at the Tri Yoga Center in Santa Cruz, just off of Washington Square. You can get all the information. There's like a huge event calendar. Next on the list, this one really caught my eye. Meditation for Anxiety and Depression.
Hmm.
Oh, you need that, Greg. Good for you.
All right.
Saturday, December 3rd at 4 p.m. This is happening at the Art of Living Center in San Jose. You know how every single one of us has experienced difficult situations in our lives. At times, we get caught up on it, draining us of our energy, et cetera, et cetera. So this seminar will teach you how you will discover the nature of your mind, how breathing is linked to the mind, using breathing techniques to calm the mind, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a big one. So once again, Meditation for Anxiety and Depression happening on Saturday, December 3rd at 4 p.m. at the Art of Living Center just off of Blossom Hill Road in San Jose.
This Saturday?
Huh. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Couple days. Not too far from my house.
Me neither. Him and Franco as well.
Yes. And then one more I want to mention, since we were talking about Christmas, this is the Christmas Make and Take happening on Friday, December 9th at 11:30 a.m. at San Jose City College. The Christmas Make and Take Party There are sessions. You can it's just like multiple events and seminars at like Cinnamon Drops with 10 Healthy Treats. You can learn how to use doTERRA essential oils, and a passion lotion and things like that. There's a lot of interesting.
You're making these elements and then taking it with you.
Pretty much that's the whole idea, and plus it's
like
all part of the.
It's
like a potluck, and it's it's for the holiday season.
You can
get more information by just looking this up. This is happening at the San Jose City College. Just look up Christmas Make and Take Party at San Jose City College.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for giving us
very
a little taste of the season.
Usual.
Yes. There's a couple of things I was going to mention. Turn away from the microphone. The couple of things I was going to mention is there's a couple of tree lightings happening this weekend. I know Friday night Cupertino's doing their tree lighting. I think Sunnyvale's doing it this weekend.
Willow Glen.
Yeah. Santana Row. I think this first weekend or early next week some cases, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what else?
What?
Well, it's a big deal in Los Gatos, Persona Lake.
What's that?
Have all those lights around
the
lake.
Where is that?
Really
I'd love
cool.
to see that.
It's in Los Gatos.
What's lake?
It's on Lark, I think.
Okay.
Vasona.
Vasona Lake Park.
Vasona, yeah.
Is that near where you live?
Yeah, it's 5 minutes from my
house.
Cool. Yeah.
Maybe I'll come.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, do you know when that is?
I think it starts right after Thanksgiving.
So it's probably lit up?
I think so.
Oh, that'd be cool.
If you go down 17 just before you get off at Los Gatos
Fantasy
Boulevard.
Fantasy of Lights. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see it right on.
Christiana sent me this.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it starts December 6th?
Yeah, nice. Yes. Yeah, and you can see the lights right off of off of 17.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They look amazing.
Is this Saturday the 3rd? It is, right?
Yeah.
So this Saturday they're doing the walkthrough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's between 4 and 9. And then
you can drive through after that,
yeah.
I think.
This is very cool. Christiana, my wife, just sent me this link yesterday. I didn't realize it was called The Fantasy of Lights. This is very cool.
I've never been to it.
There's also – I have a little time, right? There's also the largest gingerbread house in all of California, and
where?
I think it's one of the top three in the country in San Jose. There, you could do a walkthrough of this gingerbread house. Have you guys heard about this?
A real one?
Mm. The world's or the country's largest gingerbread house. Hold on, I'm going to tell you right now.
That.
Yeah, I was quite surprised because, first of all, I had never heard of anything like this, but it's the Fairmont Hotel, I believe.
Is in San Jose?
In San Jose. I'm going to tell you right now. It's the
nice
22-foot tall gingerbread house, thought to be the largest in California. 8,000 pieces of gingerbread, 1,200 pounds of icing, 650 pounds of candy. Mm. And it's at,
Whoa.
You could go see the Fairmont Hotel's Holiday Gingerbread Castle. It's beautiful. And I don't know how they don't get ants. But regardless, that's something to check it out.
This year is too cold.
How much time we have? 2.5 minutes?
Really cold this year.
Yeah, dude, what has been going on around here? It's been freezing the last week or two.
Yeah.
It's called normal for the first time in God knows how long.
Is this
long.
Normal? So you've been here for 100 years you've lived here.
I've been here long
enough. Would you say this is what December is generally, December is generally
like? Yeah, this is typical for us.
Because yesterday was about as cold as I've ever been since living here. And I mean like it was
and
in my bones.
And you're from Jersey.
It was because of the dampness in the air. It gets cold in Jersey.
True too.
There was a dampness yesterday that made it feel like it was biting cold, like Buffalo cold.
Yeah. No.
Northern Canada. And it's unusual for here. I know it gets cool. Last year it got cool, but this year it seems a little.
Check it out. Exciting. It's down in the 30s at night now.
Yeah, 38 last night I saw. Mm-hmm. Anyway, another great show. Thank you to everybody for tuning in and being a part of this with us. I know sometimes it's just about listening and maybe hopefully coming away with some sort of nugget of information.
Yeah, we try to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, any thoughts, Larry, before as we break away?
Well, I mean, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope that your holidays are blessed, as always, and they're here right now. We're in the midst of them. So this is the hardest time of the season for a lot of people right now. So if you can think of any way that you can help anybody out or get involved, do it.
I love it. Frank, how about yourself?
Well, I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving, and the holiday season is upon us, so good luck with your shopping. And then, of course, the best gift of all is just giving, and getting that satisfaction of them opening your gift and loving them. So just give, you know. And, of course, you can check out all of the previous recordings of People Helping People by going to peoplehelpingpeopleradio.com.
Thank you, Franco.
Good job, Franco.
Yep.
I will say I am thankful for you guys. I love our show. I love working with you guys. It's a pleasure and an honor to work with both of you.
Thank you.
And that we get to do this show every week, and they let us come back each week somehow.
Yeah, so it must be doing
likewise.
Something, huh?
I appreciate it, and I love doing it. It makes me feel pretty fulfilled. And I also think, like Franco just said, it's this season, let's make it a point to give more than we receive. Let's do that, because if we all do that, and that means maybe going and just handing off some food to a food shelter or a food
co-op,
or going to, you know, somewhere where there's people who are
homeless shelters
or children that are, you know, in need, and give, because that'll make you feel much better about life, make you feel like you're accomplishing something and doing something good.
Absolutely.
And next week we'll be back, and we'll probably have a whole other topic. Hopefully somebody will be in the studio with us.
Yeah, maybe our friend Jennifer will be here.
Yeah, from Real Options.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week on Daisy 1170 AM, radio that listens to you.